Welcome to Tardi Mecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmimmen. Join us for Pesach Ideas and Inspiration Wednesday night, March 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern for a Haggadah Roundtable with four speakers sharing thoughts for you to bring to your Seder. Sign up at ou.org/women/Pesach23. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Tardi Mecha Parsha. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we'll be learning Parshas Tzav, which is the second Parsha in Sefer Vayikra. This Parsha continues the topics of the previous Parsha. It continues to discuss different karbanos, specifically those brought the community and the Kohanim. The Parsha also highlights which part of the karbanos are burnt, which are eaten by the Kohanim, and which are shared with those who bring the karban. The Parsha ends with the consecration of Aaron and his sons as Kohanim and the initial service for the first 7 days in the Mishkan. In addition to the information about the karbanos and the first 7 days, the Parsha mentions mitzvos that involve logistics. The logistics mentioned in the Parsha serve like a policy manual for running the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Through these details, we can understand how to go about setting up the logistics of our lives and our homes. Running the Beis HaMikdash was no easy feat. Just think about how much administration was needed to make sure that there was enough salt, oil, spices. What was the traffic flow like? Think about the Karban Pesach and how much work had to go into making it a smooth experience for both the Kohanim and the rest of Klal Yisrael. When you run a big event, what job do you know will get left to you? Everyone wants to set a fancy table, greet the people, MC, but no one wants to take out the trash and straighten up afterward. Last week, we heard about which karbanos were brought. This week, the first mitzvah in Parshat Tzav is about cleanup. The Sefer HaChinuch explains the procedure after the karbanos are brought, which is called the Trumas Hadeshen. All day long, people bring karbanos, which means that pieces of the animals are burned to ash on a large bonfire on top of the Mizbeach. Karbanos can only be offered during the daytime, so at night, no one is using the Mizbeach. It is then that the Kohanim would gather all of the ashes on top of the Mizbeach to one spot to prepare an empty spot for the karbanos of the next day. The Trumas Hadeshen was a procedure defined in the Torah where the Kohen would dress in his special clothes of kahuna, take one shovelful from the ash pile, and place it on the ground to the east of the Mizbeach. The large pile would remain on top of the Mizbeach as it was considered an adornment for the Mizbeach to see all those mitzvos. When the pile got too large, the Torah tells us that the Kohen would get dressed in his Kohanim garments and bring the ashes outside of the camp. Why was there a daily mitzvah to take off one shovel and only one shovel? The Chinuch answered that this was a symbolic act to remind the Kohanim that the house of Hashem should be as honored as possible. New fire lights better on a clean surface. While the service of the Mishkan was messy, it should be their deepest wish that the house of Hashem should always look respectful. The removal of the ash, only the shovelful, was symbolic that they wanted to make the Mizbeach look nice. The idea of honoring the Mizbeach was further emphasized with the requirements of the Trumas Hadeshen. The ash could only be removed by a Kohen wearing the same types of garments he would wear to offer the karbanos, no jeans and no t-shirts allowed. The Chinuch says the quality of the fabric should not be as delicate because they were doing hard labor. However, the Kohen still needed to wear all four linen garments as he would with any other holy work in the Mikdash. There is a lesson in these details for us. Every job has exciting parts and menial parts. We need to do the menial jobs with an appreciation of their purpose. Putting away a siddur and shul, cleaning up from a Shabbos meal, getting ready for Pesach are holy, not only because the act is a mitzvah, but because it reminds us of the values we hold dear and for what we are willing to put in our hard work. Rav Hirsch adds an additional dimension. There is a joke that sometimes gets told in my home that when I sweep, how does a mathematician sweep the floor? He gets all the dirt in a pile, looks at it, says problem solved, and then walks away. I won't say why I get told that joke, but suffice it to say that sweeping without finishing the job and putting it in the dustpan leads to the mess spreading again. Doing the job without the finishing touches means that the job is not well done. What was the finishing touch for the work of the day on the Mizbeach? The Kohen needed to take a small pile of ash and put it on the floor to the east of the Mizbeach where everyone would see it. That seems to be the opposite of what we are trying to do if we're cleaning up. Says Rav Hirsch, Putting the ashes on the floor finished the previous day's work as it served as a bridge from one day to the next. The Trumas Hadeshen was done at night. Come morning, the Kohanim would enter with the sun rising in the east, ready to begin their day with new energy and with new intention. The sun would highlight that small pile of ash lying on the floor. It would remind the Kohanim that their work was not all innovative and new. Their work in the Mikdash was a continuation of the people who came before them. They were picking up from where was left off the day before. At times, the Kohanim needed to clean the Mizbeach of all ash. This symbolized that at times we needed to allow room for new energies and new approaches to the service of Hashem. Nostalgia is a problem because it sometimes crowds out space for anything new. From time to time, the old must intentionally make way for the new. But even in that time of renewal, there was a connection to the past. The ashes from yesterday's karbanos were there to remind the Kohanim that any innovation is built on what came before. This sense of history and a sense of humility is a prerequisite for the service of Hashem. Rabbeinu Bachai tells us that it is specifically the Kohen in his priestly garb that needs to do the job of Trumas Hadeshen. The Kohen's status comes not from anything inherent in him, but from the fact that he listens to the command of Hashem. When a Kohen is performing a service of Hashem, even if that job is dirty, he must wear the clothing of the Kohanim. The clothing must fit him perfectly to show honor for these mitzvos. If his pants are too short or too long, the Trumas Hadeshen is invalid. This job with the ashes, a clean-up job no one should want, is the source of his glory. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen needed to be done day after day because it would be easy for a Kohen to believe all the accolades about how great he is. So at the end of the day, the Kohen needs to sweep up and put ash on the floor to humble himself in Hashem's service. In Sefer Shmos, the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim. The goal of the exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvos we received at Har Sinai was so that we would become slaves of Hashem. One of the prerequisites of having a master is acknowledging that the hierarchy exists. In Sefer Vayikra, the Trumas Hadeshen is performed daily to ensure that the service of the Mishkan remained one of a servant to his master. There was another daily act of service in Parshas Tzav as part of the logistical preparation of the Mishkan. The Pasuk tells us, Esh tamid tukad al hamizbeach, a perpetual fire should burn on the altar. Chazal learned from this Pasuk that the Kohanim had to build a fire on the Mizbeach every single day. This fire was separate from the fire that was used to burn the karbanos. The Mizbeach actually had to have three fires on it, one to burn the animals, one fire to burn the ketores incense, and this third fire just needed to burn. There was an explicit command to bring a new fire every day onto the Mizbeach, even though there was another one already there. This mitzvah seems even more strange when we consider the Chazal teach us that on the day the Mishkan was inaugurated, a fire descended from heavens, and this miraculous fire lasted through the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Why this commandment? Was it not just a waste of effort and wood if the fire would be there miraculously anyway? There are two answers the Sefer HaChinuch brings, which, like the Trumas Hadeshen, can help us understand how to live lives with awareness. When we think about our day, we are involved in a lot of things. We work, we eat, we exercise, we take care of our family. A rational person would say, I work and make money, therefore I can give tzedakah. I eat, therefore I make a bracha. I exercise, therefore my body is strong enough to walk to shul. But is that true? Our physical world is so real to us that we don't perceive the spiritual reality that is driving the world. Let's say you have a puppet. Is the puppet making the puppet master's hand move, or is it the other way around? In reality, it's the spiritual that drives the physical. I give tzedakah, and therefore Hashem gives me a job and money. I make brachos, and therefore I am given food to eat. I walk to shul, so Hashem gives me the wherewithal to exercise and become strong. The spiritual drives the physical, even though we perceive the opposite. This is by design. The Sefer HaChinuch says that we need to light a daily fire on the Mizbeach to obscure the miracle of the fire descending from heaven. Open miracles that defy nature go against how Hashem has set up the world. He wants the spiritual to be hidden. The question is why? One explanation brought by the Sefer HaChinuch and Rabbeinu Bachaye relates to our need to understand our relative lowliness and Hashem's greatness in the world. Let's say there was a miracle. We'd be like, wow, Hashem is so great. Does our praise of him lessen or increase Hashem's honor? Hashem doesn't need that praise, so our now being impressed is actually somewhat insulting. Also, if a person isn't on the level to perceive Hashem so openly, it's not good for them. Medical professionals who work with overdose patients need to be careful when touching them or their belongings. If they accidentally touch fentanyl, they can overdose because their bodies are not used to tolerating the drugs. While one accustomed to taking drugs needs a far, far higher dose to have an impact. A person who doesn't have the holiness within him cannot be around the level of holiness that emanates from miracles. To protect us, the revelation of Hashem's involvement in the world is covered. In addition, says the Sichos Musar, if the correlation between the spiritual and the physical were so clear, we would never sin. For this reason, Hashem hides the spiritual world to allow for our free will. When he does miracles, he cloaks them in the natural. At the splitting of the Red Sea, Hashem first blew an easterly wind which dried up the riverbed. Only Yisro joined the Jewish people after hearing about that miracle, because everyone else was able to fool themselves. The Makos began with an act from either Moshe or Aaron. Only Makos Bechoros, the death of the firstborn son, which was a unique event, was done with complete Gilui Shechina, the complete revelation of Hashem's glory. Hashem's Shechina purposely was revealed at that moment because that is what transformed us into Hashem's nation. Other than that, even miracles like the Ark of Noah had natural trappings. The hidden nature of the spiritual benefits us in a different way. The world was set up as a cycle. When man does a behavior, it opens up blessings in heaven to provide that item for him in abundance. For example, the Sefer HaChinuch explains, because we made the Lechem HaPanim, the showbreads in the Mikdash, we received bread as a nation to eat in abundance. This is analogous to the water cycle. Water evaporates from the earth, slowly and invisibly, which causes condensation, which then comes down as precipitation, rain and snow. The small actions on earth impact the products of the heavens. When we build a fire every day on the Mizbeach, these small efforts allows a fire to descend to the world. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that we are made of four different elements, one of which is called fire. Fire within a person is his ability to produce and create. Too much fire in a person is destructive, as we will see next week when Nadav and Avihu brought too much fire to the Mishkan. Because of their excess fire, they were burnt. But too little fire in a person is also a problem. Without passion, without interest, a person remains apathetic and does not achieve. Just like Hashem commands us to give tzedakah so that he can shower the world with tzedakah, Hashem wants us to build a fire every day in the Mizbeach so that he can instill within us the drive and energy to act with purpose. This is our mission each day, to look for where the spiritual is driving the physical and to try to see the puppet master behind the puppets and act with that inspiration. There is another logistical halacha in the Parsha, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that helps us recognize and remember Hashem. The Pasuk says, V'hanosar mibsar hazavach biyom hashlishi be'eshi saref. Whatever was not eaten on the third day should be burnt. The shlomim karban can be eaten for 2 days and the intermediary night that's between them. The leftovers should not sit and spoil. On day 3, during the day, the leftovers are all burnt. Every day, as people are offering new karbanos, the best by date passed for the old karbanos and the meat was burnt. The chinuch brings a reason that relates to our daily behaviors. Everything in this world atrophies. And when things atrophy, they often become disgusting and we have less respect for them. The Torah wants us to treat the karbanos with the respect they deserve, even after they are usable. So we are commanded to make sure that we don't fall into disrespect. The most complete way to be rid of karbanos with no after effects so that we don't view them negatively is to burn them. This is something that we see in our day-to-day lives as well. We need to guard our respect from weakening. We do this by choosing of how we dispose of objects of holiness to ensure that we maximize our respect of them. We do not discard words of Torah into the trash. We put them away carefully. In this parsha, we learned that logistics are important and how we approach details on a daily basis changes our thoughts, our perspectives, and then our behavior. The Trumas Hadeshen reminds us that cleaning up from a mitzvah reinforces our position as servants of Hashem. Lighting the daily fire reminds us that we need to find ways every day to inspire ourselves. We need to light a small fire within us, take small initiatives so that we can receive spiritual bounty. We must also look for Hashem in our daily actions, as He will hide if we do not look. Finally, the burning of the leftovers reminds us that we need to be mindful of what changes our opinion and act to develop respect for holy things, making sure that we preserve the sanctity of those things used in holiness so that we always understand its role and its importance in our lives. Have a good Shabbos.